This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Wednesday, April 1st, 2020. You're listening to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. A big show for you today. Kendall Fuller recently re-signed to the Redskins at 12:45. Garnet Hathaway, he's doing some great work in the community to feed first responders at 1:30. The Caps forward will be by to talk with us about whether or not we're going to see playoff hockey at some point in the near future. Danny, good morning to you. How are you today?
We're doing all right, my friend. How about yourself?
I'm fine. The show goes on. I am in a more empty basement than I was yesterday as the packing continues. I now have a storage unit and many boxes in that storage unit. By the way, there's nothing scarier. I don't know if you've ever been in like a storage facility.
Yes.
But they should make some type of a scene in a horror movie in one of those buildings.
Well, the most
basically,
famous
every
one.
Hallway yeah. looks the same.
Uh-huh.
Like there's
imagine if the lights are out. Oh, it's terrifying.
I was with someone who was helping me like lug boxes and stuff yesterday. But I got to tell you, if I wasn't, I would, as a grown adult male, I would have been petrified.
Yeah. I mean, the most famous scene associated, of course, is Silence of the Lambs, when Hannibal Lecter's telling Clarice with their little anagrams, or the anagrams, look inside yourself, Clarice. Your self-storage, Dr. Lecter. And it's like the head of Benjamin Raspel inside his little storage facility. It's, I mean, because the element of that thing that makes it so creepy, I would say, is everybody there is able to sort of like keep it out of the way and up to the, and out of their, you know, out of the sort of the limelight, right? It's anybody can use it however they want to use it. And you realize like when you're dealing with strangers and the you know, for everybody that's got a legitimate purpose, you're like, what, like one out of every 10, 15, 20, 30 people has something so weird or something nefarious or like, you know what I mean? Like it's the unknown part of it. And it, you're right. It all looks the same and it's all very like industrial and minimalist, but there are shadows. It's very creepy.
Really is. And I'm telling you, you just walk through and I don't know how to describe it, but they have almost like there's these like hanging plastic, like, you know, almost like shower curtain type material that you have to like push through at every like 15 feet in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about it is weird. Like you think you're running into the end of a hallway. It looks like a wall, but then you can kind of push through those. It was just very strange. But I put all the boxes in the storage and we're good to go now. March was such a long month, man.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God for April. We try again here on the first today. But think about this. This is the best way to put this in perspective. Remember when we were talking about Spike Lee getting into it with James Dolan and refusing to go back to Knicks games?
Yeah.
That was March 2nd.
That was still in March?
I mean, that feels like it was 2 months ago. March 6th to the 8th is when, you know, the NBA was heating up and the Lakers secured the top spot in the West. Remember, they had a huge win over the Bucks, the Clippers, back-to-back games, and LeBron went off. March 9th. So you're talking about essentially 3 weeks ago, Rudy Gobert touched all the microphones, and the next day on March 10th, the Ivy League announced it was canceling its postseason men's and women's basketball tournaments.
The world
so this
has
all started.
Changed.
We were at spring training then, March 10th,
That
was kind of the beginning of the end, and it was only 3 weeks ago. It feels like it was legitimately a quarter, you know, months and months ago. March 11th, the Jazz and the Thunder game postponed. Remember that odd scene?
Yes.
And we thought, Danny, if you remember correctly, like that would be the moment that everyone would remember. Because it was this you know, game that didn't happen, and it seemed like either an aggressive decision or, wait, we're all here and we're just calling off basketball. That was so strange. I mean, that's going to be like the 8,000th biggest deal by the time this is all said and done. Shortly after that, the NBA announced that Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID-19, and that night on March 11th, the NBA suspended its season. So the next day we're live on the air. The NHL on March 12th did the same. The MLS both saying a day after the NBA did that they weren't going to play. And by the end of our show that day, hours after that, Major League Baseball canceled the remainder of its spring training dates and postponed opening day, which has been pushed back even further. And that night, the NCAA called off March Madness. So it was kind of this domino effect that started with Rudy Gobert on March 11th. But that was 3 weeks ago now.
3 weeks ago. I mean, again, just say that to yourself. 3 weeks ago. Think about the lightning exponential pace. Think about how much different the world is than it was 3 weeks ago at this point, right? I mean, you mentioned James Dolan. I'm not being flippant about it. It went from the biggest thing in James Dolan's world is that he's a bad owner and he's picking a fight with Spike Lee. Now James Dolan has coronavirus. You know, like just thinking about how insane and how different everything is at that point. Because I remember there was a huge reaction, maybe not necessarily from folks calling into our show, but just out there in the sports world where they're going, they're canceling all the games? That's so stupid. Are you serious? How could that possibly be? One guy necessarily is ruining for everybody, but then you start figuring out how these things work, right? Everybody that's been in the locker room with Rudy Gobert, everybody that's guarded Rudy Gobert, everybody that's gone up for the same rebound as Rudy Gobert. Next thing you know, he's touched in, just sort of the way this kind of thing works, hundreds and hundreds of people who have then touched hundreds and hundreds of people. So next thing you know, the touch point that is Rudy Gobert means 50,000 people could have been eligible to have had this thing. So the NBA is presented with that mathematics, with kind of how that growth goes, and they go, we have to shutter everything down because they played five teams within the time that he probably could have been infected. Those five teams put another 10 teams. Everyone in the league could absolutely have this at this stage. We're just going to stop playing. And it was jaw-dropping at the pace at which, A, this thing could spread, but, B, that the canceling of things was
spreading. Yeah, from the 11th with the NBA, the 12th, the NHL, the MLS, MLB, and March Madness. The 13th, Augusta National announced that the Masters were going to be postponed. And soccer, the EPL, Premier League, Champions League, soccer suspended indefinitely a little bit later on than some of the other sports. But then we had kind of a time there until the final week of the month where there was nothing being played, and we assumed that was kind of the end. On March 24th, the IOC, amid all of the pressure that they were getting from a bunch of countries and athletes, announced that the Tokyo Olympics would be postponed, and we just found out a couple days ago on the 30th that the new Olympic start date is July 23rd, 2021. And look, there's enough people kind of sounding alarm bells, and that's certainly not my job or your job, and it's not what we're going to do for a lot of reasons. A, people come here for something else, and B, we don't know anything. I mean, we're just sitting here throwing things against the wall if we say authoritatively what we think about this. I will just say that March, according to the experts, is going to go down more as the battening down of the hatches month of just kind of getting ready for what is to come. You know, if you look at the deaths as an example, 1,000 or so in the first few weeks, 3,000 since now in the last 4 or 5 days. Mm-hmm. I mean, April, it's not like we get to April and it just all ends now. We're obviously staying in our homes, according to the governors locally, until early June. So it's not like we've reached, the sun's come up and it's over now and we come back out and start living. But at least this month, which felt like it would never end, and these days seem to drag on for 50 hours at a time.
I need this to be the month where the corner gets turned. I need this to be the month where we start to get positive news. And by all accounts, it doesn't sound like that's coming within the first couple of weeks.
Just but maybe by the end of April.
Yeah, and that's my hope. Is the thing that's so crazy about this, well, there's a lot that's crazy about it, but the frustrating part is that and we think about this like with our weight loss stuff, right, where I go, I'll starve myself for a week plus, I'll do nothing but eat well, and like I only lose a pound. And it's like so bleeping annoying that it doesn't happen, right? And you're doing the work. We've all been doing the work for a week plus, but the people that are infected are walking around not knowing they're infected for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, as many, as a couple weeks, right? So the data keeps getting worse, and you're like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Why isn't it getting better? Why isn't it getting better? And we're about to crest that wave of the, unfortunately, the worst that it's going to be if everybody does what they're supposed to do. Does that make sense, just given the staggered rollouts of all these stay-at-home orders and social distancing and all the stuff that we're supposed to do.
Yeah, because success in a lot of ways is not tangible. Like, if we do everything right, we just won't basically experience as bad as it could have been.
Yes. So what
you get nothing positive out of it that you notice, right? It's just you get to kind of keep going about what is a fairly boring existence right now.
What you're looking for, and I was chatting with a good buddy of mine that's a doctor yesterday, and his point was what you're looking for to know that we've turned the corner is the rate of infection going down. Not necessarily the cases going down, because that can't happen just yet, because there's no cure, there's no vaccine. I mean, they're working on stuff. I mean, everybody's working at breakneck pace. The FDA's approving this, that, and the other thing. But once the rate of increase starts to drop, that's when the corner has been turned. That's when you can say, hey, this is the effectiveness. So it's if something goes up by 5% every day, then, you look back 2 weeks ago and you've doubled or you tripled, whatever. Once that rate starts to drop, that's the beginning of saying we are now on the offensive. We are now starting to win, and we're not there.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. We are just getting going today on The Fan. Really big show. John Clayton, longtime ESPN NFL expert who now writes about the league in the Washington Post, will join us at 11. At 12:45 today, Kendall Fuller of the Redskins, and at 1:30, Garnet Hathaway. That means we will be moving our Grant and Danny Movie Club today, because Fuller's joining us in that normal appointed spot at 12:45, to the top of the 1 o'clock hour. So if you watched Casino and you want to interact with us on that,
so good,
you can be a part of the G&D Movie Club. You're listening to The Fan. Next, the league is adding two playoff teams. Football's postseason getting bigger for 2020. 7 teams in each conference. Too many or the right amount? We'll discuss. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Congratulations to the Redskins and Brandon Scherff, who, by way of the franchise tag, have a new one-year contract for over $15 million as he is signing his franchise tender, according to Adam Schefter's sources yesterday afternoon. He's going to be at training camp, if there is a training camp now, by signing that tender. So a couple of things here before we get the show going and talk about the NFL expanding the playoff field. First things first, tomorrow would have been Nationals opening day at home.
That's right.
And they would have unveiled and raised their banner in front of the home crowd and for the first time reconvened as World Series champions at Nationals Park since Game 7 in Houston, which was going to be an incredible day. We're going to do as best we can to get you guys to feel like you're still getting to celebrate the Nationals on April 2nd as you would have, and to put a smile on your faces. Tomorrow, Mike Rizzo will be on with the Junkies. Dave Martinez is going to be on with us at 11 to relive the postseason. Max Scherzer will stop by our show at 1 o'clock. Chad's going to have Adam Eaton and Ryan Zimmerman on his show as well. You'll hear from Charlie and Dave and FP and Bob over the course of the day. It's going to be something of a Nats celebration on the day where we would have been celebrating an amazing accomplishment and thanking that organization and that team for what they brought to this city. But it's going to be an all-day Thursday event here on 106.7 The Fan. I know there is no game, but we will take the opportunity to try to raise some money as well for a really worthy cause in the community. So here's what I would tell you about that. Paisanos is presenting this entire thing at a time when, as you can imagine, a lot of companies are not spending money. They have chipped in, and they have made this possible
Very cool.
for us. So thanks to PaisanosPizza.com as they support not only 106.7 The Fan, but Nationals Philanthropies and their mission to provide support and funds to fight food insecurity in the D.C. area. There's going to be a bunch of chances tomorrow, Danny, for our listeners to win different Nats-related prizes and events and sit-downs and meet-and-greets and things like that. And it's all going to raise money for people in the community that are having a hard time eating right now. And I think it's an amazing
it's awesome.
Cause.
No, it's perfect. And it's one of those things that, I mean, you wish it wasn't happening this way, but we're all dealing with the same circumstances. So it's awesome for Paisanos, and it's awesome, I think, for the Nats kind of working with this outreach. I know we had our friend Tal Alter on the show, who's the Grand Poobah of sort of Nationals, all things Nationals charity endeavors. And there's so many great organizations like my friends at DC Food Project, Capital Food Bank, and all these different places that are dealing with this, right? And now is the time, maybe more so than ever, to kind of address this. And if there's one positive from this horribly adverse situation that we're all kind of dealing with is maybe a recognition of this ongoing plight that's now exacerbated by our current circumstances. But to the Nationals' end of this thing, we're going to celebrate. I'm sorry. That accomplishment, what they did in 2019, beating a team that we know at least for 1 year and probably suspect for more was cheating their you-know-whats off and has been punished accordingly. Well, not accordingly. Major League Baseball fell short there.
I would say not punished accordingly.
Yeah, some guys were gently punished, and they're supposed to think about what they did, according to the commissioner. But the accomplishment, the joy that that brought, this one final celebration. Imagine if the Capitals, after going through everything that they went through and how much fun that was, didn't get to raise the banner, didn't get to have their home game, didn't get to have the anthem played and everybody going badass crazy, right? Caleb Green didn't get to sing the anthem for the home opener. That's taken away from the Nationals, and to no fault of their own, we're going to remember that we get to remember one more time. I'm excited about tomorrow, man.
Yeah, Davey Martinez at 11, Max Scherzer at 1, kind of anchoring what will be a great day of Nats coverage and all your other sports news as it comes out that needs to be passed along on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. I'm actually looking at Danny via Zoom, which a lot of you guys are using to interact with friends and to talk to your parents. As I said to Danny a few days ago, I would have loved to have bought stock in this company because everyone's now video conferencing and basically Skyping in. Is Skype a thing of the past or something? No one seems to be Skyping. Everyone's Zooming.
I kept asking about Skype among friends, and people made it sound like it's not 1998 anymore, dude. We're not Skyping.
Yeah, I wonder why that is.
I don't know what happened. I don't know what's wrong with Skype. Seems fine to me.
So my first observation is we're doing this show kind of face-to-face from afar in my house and your house via Zoom is that, like me, your hair is getting a little bit out of control. I didn't get a haircut that long before all this started, so I should be okay for a little while. But it's already, like, thicker and kind of more helmety than I like and a little bit uncomfortable. You have these, like, really thin bangs that grow, like, straight out and kind of stand up on your head that's kind of odd. What is your plan, if anything, for a haircut? Because it's going to be potentially, I would think, until June before people can get their haircut. Like, at what point do you allow your wife to just take clippers to you and take, like, a two-guard and give you a buzz cut?
Last week. It's already happened. I'll show you here. You can't really see it because of the headphones, so I'm going to take my headphones off
for a second. But your bangs are too long.
Well, I mean, she's not going to take the scissors. I mean, she just sort of did a gentle buzz.
So are you just going to let your bangs keep growing until this is all over?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't come across that part yet. But look at – I have – you know, the thing that I can't stand about my hair, you know, you hate all of it, but the thing I can't stand about my hair – is the puffy sides. It's the only thing I care about. I hate the puffy sides.
Yeah, but why do you underrate how important it is that your bangs keep growing out further and further? It's like the brim of a hat. It's just like straight in front of your face.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I care about puffy sides. So I'm going to show you with my headphones off here.
Yeah, he's putting the microphone down. Yeah, I can see. So she took like, she faded it up. She took maybe, I'm guessing, a one or two guard to the sides. Which, by the way, she did a great job.
I think she did a really good job. So I go, you take the one. And you just go straight up. Don't go with the curvature of the head. That's the mistake
that people
make who don't know what they're doing. You actually think about just a vertical hand going straight up in the air, and that lets it fade up so there's no bowl-type situation.
Understood.
You did a really good job.
There's going to be a lot of bad haircuts around the area, I think, because a lot of people are just going to start doing them at home.
Yeah.
And bad haircuts become unacceptable. I'm just wondering a little bit about your bangs is all. That's all I wanted to get some information on.
I have nothing for you at this time. Okay. I have no plan at this stage. I mean,
do you have gel in your hair right now?
No, I just.
How do they stand up like that? Why don't they rest on your head? That's what I don't get.
I don't get it either. I didn't. First of all, I generally come to work when I see other people. I've been dealing with my children early in the morning, and I don't have time or I don't really care. I basically just sort of show up at work, and you get licked by whatever my hair's doing. I would add whatever
I
that
only get
phenomenon
Rick when
is.
You have bedhead.
Yeah, I would.
That's the only time.
Well, here's the newsflash. I've got it. I'll continue to have it, and it's not getting
just
better.
Fine.
Well, I'm saying the phenomenon's not getting better when I don't actually have to see anybody outside of my family. You know what
Understood.
I mean? Like, it's not like I don't really do anything with my hair in the morning when I come to see you and we do the show.
Yeah.
Now that I'm not coming in anywhere, I wouldn't expect that situation to improve.
I'm still showering and kind of doing my hair in the morning. Just it's like my one
habit, yeah.
Opportunity to feel like I'm still living in some way. But no, I completely understand what you're saying. And I'm not telling you your hair looks bad. I'm just wondering about your bangs. That's all I was doing. You don't have an answer, which is fine. Yeah. You don't have an answer.
I'm not offended. I'm trying to give you the best info that I've got, and I don't have much at this time. Just sort of
like to hear from people at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny on Twitter, like what you're doing. If your hair was out of control, did you have someone cut it? Did you get a decent cut, maybe better than you expected from a loved one, or did it go off the rails, which is a possibility? But I was talking about Zoom, and the reason I brought up Zoom is I'm thinking this is a slam dunk. Everyone's going to be doing this. Kids are doing classes on Zoom now where you can have like all the kids in the class and their little squares like the Brady Bunch. Well, apparently there's this thing called Zoom bombing. Have you heard of this?
No. What is that?
Or like the bad guys, and I don't know who they are, but whoever the bad guys are, they are like jumping in to like classrooms with kids and stuff and posting indecent, obscene photos and things. And they're like jumping in on like your conference call, let's say, if you and your wife and your kids and your parents are all like in a Zoom conference. People are like posting things you wouldn't want them to see, or like somehow just joining and talking to you in like weird ways.
How does that happen?
I don't know, but it seems very scary. It seems very weird. And called Zoom bombing. And
goodness they're out there. Thank goodness they're out there just making sure.
Right.
You know what I mean? Every time you feel decent about the world, we're really coming together, it's the guy that's like, I better make sure that a 7-year-old sees something indecent.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's funny.
Now's the time to make sure that you do the thing that makes you the biggest jerk that you've been in a while.
I mean, good
How about
heavens.
Just the things that you do that you know make you a jerk, just don't do them for a little while.
I understand if you're like, you don't, I mean, I don't condone it, but I get if you're like, let's say you don't have any money or you're starving or you need something, like, you know, like remember in Batman Begins when Bruce Wayne, the first time I stole so I wouldn't starve. Like, you know, he did that when he was like on his weird wilderness tour in Nepal or whatever the hell he was, right? Like, I can understand that. I don't condone stealing, but I understand that. I don't understand the, I got some spare time, I better make sure that these kids see something indecent. I'll never get that pathology. I'll never get the pathology of I need to make sure that I'm just an a-hole. Like that, that I don't understand. I never
Hopefully,
will.
I mean, they're now saying basically they're going to try to do fewer classes and things that way until they can get it all sorted out. But just an example that people are still taking advantage of folks at a time when we're all just trying to kind of come together.
A person can be okay. People suck.
Grant and Danny on the Fan next. Let's get to the NFL, adding two playoff teams for 2020. 7 in each conference now. Too many are the right amounts. Next on G&D. The expansion of the NFL playoffs from 12 to 14 teams this coming season, as voted on and ratified by the owners yesterday, is going to lead to a lot more money for the National Football League, and here's why. NBC and CBS have picked up the two new wildcard games for about $70 million per. According to Sports Business Journal, NBC's game will also stream on the soon-to-be-launched Peacock, which CBS will simulcast a broadcast of their game on Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is genius, by the way. I mean, how many segments have we done and hours have we spent talking about baseball's lack of outreach to the youth and how they can fix that? And they've spent, I'm sure, months worth of time all told just sitting around in a boardroom thinking up ways to better allow their game to relate to children and get their games into the eyes and into the forefront and so that kids can see it. Well, football says we're just going to take our game right to the channel they're already watching. So as they're sitting down crisscross applesauce in front of their TVs waiting for their next show, oh, here comes an AFC playoff game. Enjoy it.
Exactly right. I mean, now, who knows what your kid ratings are going to be, but that doesn't matter. It's almost
I think that's irrelevant to the league. I think they just want maybe some kid that wouldn't have watched football otherwise goes, wow, this is cool. Who's this Pat Mahomes guy?
Exactly right. And it's a, you know, it's another marketing arm. I mean, it's why when you walk the streets of D.C., when you're able to do that sort of thing, and you see kids playing in the park, you don't see any Redskins jerseys. You see jerseys of everybody else because kids that are fans of the sport are fans of players. I mean, that's the difference between, you know, younger people that have come up in this NFL, not just because the Redskins have been terrible for, you know, for 30 years, basically, but just the way the league is marketed, just because of the you know, fantasy sports, et cetera. Maybe it's the NBA culture, I don't know, but it's player over team for younger fans, something that's unfathomable to folks my age and older. I care about the Redskins. I care about them so much, and I just want to beat Dallas a couple times. For them, it's, well, this guy's on my fantasy team, so I like him. Or whatever it is, he's the coolest. He's in the best commercials with Troy Polamalu talking about his hair. It's genius. I'm with you.
Yesterday's news officially came down. The NFL will be adding the two wild card spots. There will now be three wild card teams in the NFC, another three in the AFC, a total of seven playoff teams per conference. Of course, you still have the four division winners. The way this will work is we now have one team that wins the conference outright and gets a bye, whoever that top seed is. And then you're going to have below that six teams that all play in the opening weekend. So we'll go from four games to six games in that opening round, which will be good as two plays seven, three plays six, and four plays five. The new games, January 10th, a 4:40 Eastern kickoff, CBS and CBS Stream, and then January 11th on NBC Telemundo, Sunday night game at 8:15 p.m. Eastern for those 2-7 matchups for the first time. Here, I guess, is the big question about this, Danny, is 14 teams in a 32-team league too many? Seven on each side. If you look at the numbers, I saw this on Twitter yesterday, and I actually really dug this stat.
Mm-hmm.
I believe of the last 14 teams since like 07 or something, and I'll get the exact figures for you in a second, only one of the 10 win teams of those 14 will have not made the playoffs in the new bracket, basically.
Gotcha.
Only one, if you think about it that way. So if you win 10 games now, you're going to be in. Here are the exact numbers, and I was off. Since 2002, 10 teams have won 10 or more games and missed the playoffs. Nine of those 10 teams would have made the playoffs under the new 14-team format. The 2005 Jets are the most 2015 Jets are the most recent example. They would have gotten in. Only the Buccaneers back in 2010, who finished 10-6 by way of some tiebreakers, would have still been left out. They, of course, are in a 12-year playoff drought. But the bottom line is, if you win 10 games, you're almost assuredly going to be in. There's going to be some more 8 and 9 win teams. I worry a little bit about less fighting to get in on the back end. I worry a tad about less fighting for a bye as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might water down December some, week 13, 14, 15,
yeah, it might have the unintended
16.
Consequence of doing that, yeah.
Is that okay? Are we upset about that? Do we feel okay about that?
I'm not.
I'm all for – I don't like adding like two in each conference. I think one in each conference is fine. But I do admit in saying that I like the adjustment here. I like a little bit more playoff football because it's great. I readily admit that I think that the end of the season could get a little bit more boring.
Well, I've learned from Major League Baseball on this one, believe it or not. I think MLB was actually on the forefront of this. And here's what I mean. I initially go, wild card? What? What do you mean, wild card? That's terrible. Don't do that. Delightful. More teams in it. More teams staying competitive. You know, teams that were just okay, want to get in the dance to get hot. See the Nationals. Wild card team wins the World Series, right? We've seen the San Francisco Giants with guys that were cast off. All of a sudden, you ride Madison Bumgarner and a bunch of non-roster invitees and people they added on the waiver deadline win World Series. It's more exciting. Now, it doesn't mean that you bring everybody into the playoffs. It doesn't mean you have all 32 teams do it because they're all different stages. But having an extra team, so it's not overwhelming, I think it's the right thing, and I'm with you. It is more exciting. I like that extra game. I like that opening weekend, sort of the way that it is. I like just sort of the nonstop wall-to-wall football for that opening and then the divisional round where it's marquee, marquee, marquee. I'm all in favor of it. The corollary or sort of the extra effect here, the side effect, may be what you're talking about. I'm curious to see how it plays out here over the next 2 years where if you've got one team that's boat racing everybody, nobody cares about getting that home field advantage, or you water down and have a couple more 8-8 teams. But history is littered with the 7-9s and the 8-8s in given weird years making it to the postseason. I think of the Arizona Cardinals team and Aeneas Williams that beat the Dallas Cowboys as a 8-8 team. I think of that Seattle Seahawks team that beat the Saints that was under 500. That's already happened before. I don't think it's ruined playoff time when that happens.
It hasn't,
but
it does make it more prevalent moving forward, I
sure.
would say.
It would encourage
watering down.
It opens
the door for more of that, which none of us really like. I would prefer if you're going to allow for, bad playoff teams to make it, and they're wild card teams, so theoretically they got to go on the road. I would like, while we're tweaking the playoffs, to just wave a wand over them and fix other things like the team with the better record hosts, whether you win the division or not. But I know you prioritize division championships, and that's all that matters is winning the division. But like, to me, if you win your division with 7 wins and you're playing an 11-win wild card, in a million years you shouldn't host that team. And I've always kind of felt that way. A couple of things. Yes, we are spiking the value of the number one seed, and I have no problem with that. Because you played season long,
that's right.
And you get that right. But we are really devaluing the two seed clearly here in a bad way. I saw this via ESPN yesterday. Every Super Bowl participant for the last 7 seasons has gotten a bye. Think about that. So 14 straight teams that played in the Super Bowl has been one of the top 2 seeds, and they had a bye in the opening round.
Right, it's basically since Baltimore, right?
Right, 2012 yeah. Ravens. That was the last team that didn't have a bye that got to the Super Bowl. So you take those 2 seeds like the team that won this year, the Kansas City Chiefs. A total of 5 times the Super Bowl has been won by a club. Or I should say number 2 seeds have won the past 2 Super Bowls, not just this past year. And a total of 5 times since the postseason format last changed with divisional realignment in 2002. That's, I think, the big change here that makes it real difficult is your Kansas City's, your excellent teams like them. Where are they going to have a hard time beating, let's say, the Steelers that they have gotten in without Ben Roethlisberger? No, but there's just an attrition rate when you add a game to the journey.
Sure.
Think hockey, think baseball. Part of why it's so hard to win the World Series or the Stanley Cup is it's an SAT test, man. It just wears you down. Like at some point you throw your hands up and you could probably answer more questions, but you go, I'm good. I probably am going to pass. It's going to be fine. And that's what those other playoffs do, football, because if you have the bye, look at the Patriots, the beneficiaries for so long in a bad division, running up their record in the regular season, not having to play in the first round, you're 1 win away from the AFC Championship game.
That's a good point.
So you win that game, and then you're able to just take the field next week, 1 game away from the Super Bowl. It's a huge benefit to those clubs.
No, it certainly is. And I don't have a problem with that, honestly. And I see your point about devaluing the 2 seed. I think that's exciting. You know what I mean? Like, the flip side of that is that's fun. You know, if it's your run-of-the-mill 7 seed, this 8-8 Steelers team, granted they were excellent on defense, but Kansas City's going to win that game, you know, 97 times out of 100. But wouldn't it be fun if Roethlisberger was able to come back? You know what I mean? Or had, this isn't your normal 8-8 team. It was something with kind of a fluke situation or whatever it is, right, that they were hot all of a sudden. Like, think of if Tennessee was only 8-8. Heading into the postseason, and then they played Kansas City early on. That ended up being a really, really fun game, the 6 seed battling KC. So I'm into that. I like that kind of intrigue with it. Now, I also like the idea of rewarding regular seasons, and the NFL has done the best job of this of any of the other sports, and in my opinion, it's the biggest reason why they're the number one sport in this country and maybe worldwide, is they've made their regular season matter so much. It's a weekly appointment, and every week's a referendum. That's more pronounced now because you want that number one seed that much more desperately. So if it's a 2-game lead at the end of the year, yeah, you're bummed about that. You may not have that fight for the number one. But I love the idea of everybody going all in for that super privileged top of the bracket situation.
I've got the numbers, you know, specifically to what you were referring to a couple of minutes ago, by the way. If you go back through all the years since realignment in 2002, 36 additional playoff teams, how many would have had losing records? How many would have been 8-8? How many would have been 9-7 and so on? So we can get into those next. But here's the question I want to pose. I would love to take a few calls on this if some folks are coming back from or going to work in their car or listening at home via smart devices and want to hop in. 800-636-1067. We're going to have more 8-8 playoff teams than we've ever had before. Would it be good or bad for the league, which celebrates parity, which talks about everyone kind of being in the same bucket, save for a couple of elite and a couple of stinkers? Would it be good or bad for the league to have an 8-8 Super Bowl champion in the next couple of years? That's the question. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Would an 8-8 Super Bowl champion be something the league liked or be a black eye? I wouldn't put it on the level of, like, in the Arena Football League when your boy was calling Washington Valor games. And they won 2 games, and all 4 teams made the playoffs, and they won the title. I'm not saying it's that. But there is something to be said for, I think, if you go 8-8, you're not a winning team. You sneak into the playoffs in, let's say, year one or year two of them opening the field to some mediocrity, so to speak. And then you go on a magical carpet ride, and you win the championship. If you look through the numbers, Danny, since the start of the 2002 season, which covers 36 additional playoff teams over 18 postseasons, you would find that 9-8-8 teams, none with losing records, but nine that were 500 would have been added to the playoff brackets as seven seeds. There would have been no seven-win teams, which is a big deal to me. I think if you have a 7-9 playoff team, that's a disaster. And it potentially could happen, but over the last 18 years, it hasn't, and that tells you that it won't very often, at least. But in that same period, according to ESPN.com, eight of the 9, 10, and 6 teams that have missed the playoffs would have gotten in. So you're basically making it almost foolproof that if you win 10 games, you get there. You're not going to miss out via a tiebreaker in Week 17. And more importantly, if you win 7 games, it's probably still not good enough. But what's your thought on if an 8-8 team won at all, how the league would view that?
I think it would end up being an awesome story. I think it would be wonderful for the league. And every city that hasn't had a team, like, say, I don't know, Washington, win more than 10 games in the entirety of Dan Snyder's ownership, and then a bunch of years before that as well, you go, you know, the Eric Pickles of the world, that all they want to do is get in and just see what happens. I want to be great and see, and then see what happens. But the, you know, let's root for just to be okay, just to get your foot in the door and see if you can go on a magical run, et cetera. I think that would be awesome for the league. I mean, here's my comp. It's not exactly the same, but bear with me. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot here. For the NCAA basketball championship, who won the NCAA championship in 2016? I don't remember off the top of my head.
No file. I would say I'll throw Duke out there. I have no idea.
Or,
it might have been Butler or something weird.
Yeah, it might have been Duke. But here's my point. I know who won it in 1985. I know who won it in 1983. The two most enormous upsets ever to happen. NC State survived in advance, and Villanova beat that Georgetown team. Those upset runs are the stuff of legend. It's the stuff that gets you 30 for 30s. It's the stuff that gets you, you know, those great narrated type things. Get me Liv Schreiber on HBO telling me how everything went down each and every week, you know? I think that would be awesome for the league. I really do. I mean, it'd be annoying and frustrating for, you know, royalty, you know, when Kansas City goes, you know, 14-2 and ends up losing, or New England or whatever. But I think one time it happening would be fantastic, and the league would feel validated at their new playoff system.
Possibly. I mean, maybe it would validate them. I definitely think they revel in and they enjoy parity. I really believe that. And I think they would almost take it as a feather in their cap, because they celebrate and they feast on this idea that the difference between your everyman club that's 8-8 and the teams that go 11-5 and 12-4 is literally 3 or 4 plays over the course of a season. And the league wants you to believe, if you're in Washington picking second right now and you're a fan of a team that was 3-13, that all you got to do is tweak one or two things and come back and try again and make that field goal and, you know, block that extra point and make that one catch and not allow that one big run. And next thing you know, you too can be 9-7. So maybe they would eat that up and really enjoy it. I happen to think, though, what they've got now, not necessarily is better, but is preferred, which is the teams that win the Super Bowl and play in the Super Bowl every year are the best regular season teams. Now, that doesn't mean we know who they're going to be going into the year. See San Francisco or Green Bay this year.
Yeah, the playoff turnover, it's a 50% turnover every year.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so that's the best, to me, the best case scenario for them. You cannot predict who's going to be great. But the teams from September to December that are outstanding are the last team standing, as evidenced by 7 straight years, 14 straight teams to play in the Super Bowl had a bye in the opening round of the postseason. And I think that's preferred to, well, just find a way to scratch out 8 games and maybe you can win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But they like parity so much, maybe I'm off base.
They love parity. And the thing that Major League Baseball, and again, I keep commenting to other sports, but the thing that Major League Baseball wanted to try to figure out was the thing that happens in the NFL. The thing in the NFL is all 32 cities, you got sports talk guys, you got newspaper columnists as you're covering, you know, the preseason stuff, OTAs. Everybody, they're you know, hardcore diehard fans can talk themselves into a scenario where that team makes the playoffs. Like, for most of the time in the 90s when the Yankees are winning every World Series and going every year, if you were the Kansas City Royals, you knew you had no chance. The Pittsburgh Pirates knew before the whole season started that it was hopeless and they had no shot at any of this kind of stuff, right? That, to me, is the thing that football has that other sports don't have. And now when you add a team, that phenomenon is just kind of ramped up a little bit.
Yeah, along what you were saying, Vance tweeted us and said, look at it this way. We all love 17 and 15 teams that win their conference tournament.
Right.
They got hot at the right time, go on to make the Final Four. He said, so why not have the same attitude with the number 7 seed? All you need is a ticket to the dance. Dylan on Twitter, and you can hit us up at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny, says, the thing I would be worried about is teams that aren't competing for first because of a bye. They're going to rest key players if they know they aren't making it to the bye, and they're going to be in the playoffs.
They're going to
get more
now,
of that,
though.
For sure.
Yeah,
it happens
but,
more,
yes.
But you're going to get it happens now, but you're
yes.
going to get more of it.
No, I agree with you. I do agree, especially with the number one seed thing. But think about how many teams are locked into spots just by how the math works out, right? Where if we finish 10-6, great. If we finish 9-7, great. And there's nothing you can do about it. I think that's already happening, but you're right. It would happen a percentage more.
And a great point here by a tweeter as well. He says you can't have an 8-8 team eventually because of the 17th game. So you're going to have 9-8 and 8-9. But what that means is you could very well have an 8-9 losing team. Now, it's going to be different than 7-9. But you could have plenty of 8-9 teams making the playoffs, number one. Number two, remember, we are going to have a 16-game season this year. The 17th game of the regular season at the earliest could be added in 2021. And I'm sure it will be because owners just stand to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, this coming season there will still be 16 games. You're listening to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. John Clayton on the Redskins offseason to this point. He was assigned the task of giving the Redskins a grade for what they did. A to F report card style. We'll find out from him next what grade he gave them, what he liked, and what he didn't right here on today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.